You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, theater folks, welcome back to the We Are Theater podcast. Today, we are joined by our final Come From Away member on our trip to Gander. Joseph, hello, how are you?
I'm well, Josh, how are you?
I am fantastic. You're one of the newest Come From Aways to the Australian cast here, so we're going to pick your brain on that a little bit later. But for now, what have you found to be your favourite part of the Come From Away story?
The whole rehearsal process has been unlike anything I've experienced before. Just really, you know, the creative's really taking the time with the cast to really connect to not only their characters and the story of Come From Away, but their own stories and their own connection to 9/11 and going back, we have conversations about, you know, where we were when it happened and how it made us feel and our emotions at the time and connecting to that and, you know, obviously finding relevance to that in our characters, but just relevance in our lives and how it affected us, which has been remarkable. And then, you know, even just sitting down with the cast and creatives and watching documentaries as part of the rehearsal period and then debriefing about it afterwards as a collective, it's just really been quite empowering and you know, you don't feel like you're just your foot's on the gas going 100 miles an hour. You have that time to actually reflect on what this story is actually about.
I love that. And coming in to the show, obviously you're coming in to the show as Kevin. So what's it been like learning who Kevin is, but also all the material to go into the show as well?
Yeah, sure. So there's two Kevins in the show. There's a Kevin T and a Kevin J. So we'll clear that straight out of the gate. So I play Kevin J, who is actually partners with the Kevin T. And coming into this, we're quite aware that these stories, a lot of these stories are based on real life people and the stories they shared. And so you've kind of got that in the back of your mind that these are real people that you're not necessarily portraying, but you're reflecting a snippet of their life and a moment that happened during this tragedy. So you're kind of trying to remember that this isn't these characters aren't just kind of plucked from thin air, which is quite important. So I guess having that in the back of your mind, but the thing with everyone in this show is they have their prominent character, but you'll see it's such and such and others. So Kevin J and others. And so everyone, is portraying usually a minimum of three different characters in the show. You have what they call the plain people. You have your Ganderites, and then just a smorgasbord of so many other characters that kind of come and go through the show. So the other prominent role that I play is Ali, who he's kind of a composition of many stories and many characters as well. So an extreme contrast to Kevin J as well in terms of their personalities and their backgrounds and all that. So Kevin J is American from Brooklyn. And then you've got Ali, who's an Egyptian Muslim. And so it's quite amazing and quite a a privilege to play very, very different contrasting characters as well.
In the same show, nonetheless. getting your head around all the different dialects and accents, it's a big part of this show. So I touch on it every time I get to chat to somebody. How was that kind of getting your head, one, around the very unique Gander accent, and then having a collection of your Brooklyn and everyone else that you get to portray?
Yeah, it's really cool. Like I find it extremely fascinating, the accents. And we've had Joel Gould, who is an accent and dialect coach, helping us through this process, and he's just remarkable. And I find it so fascinating, just literally wrapping your mouth around these different shapes and accents, and just the intricacies of it and how detailed it is, and how much attention to detail they have with this as well. The Gander accent is so unique. Like it's North American for the most part, but then you've got, you know, Canadian influences and then Irish influences, and it's not like you can just go in one complete direction and just go, oh, I'll just do a Canadian accent or I'll just do an Irish accent, because it's not at that. And so it's almost flip-flopping between, you know, kind of three different accents, whether it's North American, Canadian or Irish, and just finding when and where to switch between the three. And obviously, you know, then you've got things like their rhythms and the melody of the way they speak as well, which is such a big part of it. As well, it's not just getting the accent correct, but it's how musical the language is, and so many aspects to it. And it's like I said, it's really great that they take the time to really make sure that you're hitting the nail on the head. I guess, you know, things like Kevin J, the American accent in Australia. I mean, we're so exposed to an American accent, whether it's TV shows or, you know, movies, all that. So I think, you know, we're probably more exposed to the American accent than the Americans are exposed to an Australian accent. So we're fortunate in that capacity. And I think in Australia, if you're in this industry, you're just expected to be able to do an American accent. And I think it's something that we just inadvertently start doing as performers. So again, not without its faults, you know, you still get pulled up on certain things and things that you don't even think about. Like, you know, we say TV and we emphasize the V, whereas they say TV and it like emphasizes the T. So it's just little things. It's so subtle, but like I said, the attention to detail is quite remarkable. And then Ali being Egyptian, you know, there's a little bit of Arabic in there as well. Fortunately, I grew up in an Egyptian household, so I was kind of I ticked that box pretty early. So the Arabic is I speak Arabic, so it came second nature to me. So quite fortunate with that. And yeah, it's good. Apparently, I'm the first actual Egyptian to play this role as well, so that's really cool.
That's awesome. What song are you most excited to perform on that first night that you get an audience in?
The opening number is it's so good. Like, it's just so energetic, and it just you know, comes out all guns blazing, and it really invites the audience in, and it gets you really ramped up for, you know, this 100-minute, 90-minute show, you know, that you put your foot on the accelerator and you don't take your foot off. And that's, you know, that's kind of the feeling the audiences get as well. I mean, I was fortunate to see this show you know, before COVID hit and before I even knew I was going to be in the show. So you kind of see it from a very different perspective as opposed to watching a show when you know you're about to partake in it. And you just feel like, as an audience member, you can't catch your breath.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it.
I find it that you're either laughing or you're crying. There's no in between. Like it's snap, snap, snap. Like you don't get a second to process what just happened. It's literally one emotion to another, and then you get to the end and you're like, I need to breathe.
100%. And you feel like I saw it with my wife, and I reckon, like, you know, you're driving home and you have so many things you want to talk about, but at the same time, you're almost sitting there in silence, just kind of taking in what just happened. I think that opening number just sets up the trajectory that the show's about to take on, and so I think that's important. It's such an important number, and to instantly tell the audience that this show's going to move pretty damn quick. So, you know, be alert, kind of thing.
What's your experience been like coming into the cast? Obviously, like, you're one of the newer cast members. These guys have been together for nearly 2 years now. So what's it like coming into that kind of preformed thing and get to kind of figure out how other people have developed their characters over time and that type of thing?
Yeah, really great. I mean, I really enjoy it. I enjoy kind of coming into a show. I've done 5 professional shows, and 4 out of those 5 have been a recast. So it's a skill set in itself to kind of come in a little bit later. And I really don't mind throwing a spanner in the works and making it a little bit more unpredictable for the other performers as well. And I think people appreciate that as well. Like, the performers appreciate that they're not, you know, that they're being challenged and not just kind of regurgitating what they've been doing for such a long time. And I think the important thing is, I mean, Ali kind of sits on his own, has a few little interactions, but with Kevin J, he's in a relationship with Kevin T. And so obviously Doug Hansel, who plays Kevin T, was obviously performing with another performer playing Kevin J. And so coming in and just kind of recreating that relationship and, you know, the interactions that we have and, you know, finding moments and playing things and Doug's really great. Like, he goes, oh, look, we've never done it like that before, but not in a negative way. Like, it's fresh, and it's kind of, it's sparking kind of new inspiration and new ideas and kind of keeping that relationship fresh and recreating it. And that's like anything. I mean, you know, different people are going to have their own kind of interpretation and spin on it. So I think I really enjoy that aspect. In terms of, just coming in, everyone's just so warm and welcoming, and you almost feel like you were never not part of that original cast. Like, it's such a great family atmosphere, and it's something that the creatives have really emphasized from the start, that the show is about community, and it's about what happened at that time in terms of people supporting each other. But they said it, and I obviously I'm paraphrasing, but it was about the community that we create on the stage, not as characters, but as people and as friends, and then carrying that off the stage, like the community and the friendships that we create off the stage, and all that reads when we're performing on stage and supporting each other. Like, there's so many moments in the show that audiences don't see. That is, it's literally about, if I don't do this, if I don't move this particular chair in the right spot, or if I don't bring this prop on for this person, I'm affecting someone else's performance and someone else's show. So it's really all about, it's all about coming together and everyone, you know, really being hand in hand and unified. And like I said, I don't think there's been a moment where I haven't felt that, even coming in as a new cast member.
Yeah. What does it mean to you to be at this point, obviously where the world's at with theatres reopening, what does it mean to you to be a part of a cast that's one of the first shows to reopen after the lockdown?
It's quite amazing. It's a little bit, still feels like a little bit of a fantasy, like it's like a fairy tale kind of thing. And I consider myself very, very fortunate. And I think we're very fortunate in Australia and in Victoria particularly. We did a lot of hard yards for a few months there. And, you know, I mean, I was out of work for months on end. And again, even coming out of it, it was like, well, even after this, what's going to happen? What's next for me? What, you know, how well is things going to be after this pandemic? Like, will things pick up again? And these are questions that I guess, you know, not just theatre people ask, but many people asked of their own respective industries. And so, to not only see the industry kind of blooming again, but to be part of that is very special. I consider myself extremely lucky. I consider myself extremely lucky to be part of this industry, full stop. I have so many moments sometimes when I'm on stage and having a quiet moment of something else happening, and I might be just sitting there on stage, and I go back to like 10-year-old me at a primary school show or something, and like telling myself, did you think you'd be here like 20, 30 years later? And it's a really friendly reminder to myself sometimes of how fortunate I am and how far I've come in the industry. So yeah, to kind of backtrack and answer your question, it's very special. And I personally don't take it for granted at the best of times, but even at the worst of times when things, you know, when we're looking at it from a very different perspective, you know, I consider myself very lucky, and it's a very special show.
Amazing. Guys, that's almost the perfect note to wrap up on. So as we pack our bags and head home from Gander, we want to make sure that you guys have all got tickets to the upcoming productions. There's Melbourne, Brisbane and Sydney, hoping COVID all calms down around. But Melbourne's definitely out right now, guys. So make sure you're going and grabbing your tickets. comefromway.com.au right now to check that out. To wrap things up, Joseph, what is your favourite moment in the show? And you can answer this as an audience member or a cast member, because you've seen the show.
Like how do I kind of say that without like spoiler alert kind of thing? There's a particular moment in Beverly's song, Me and the Sky. Can I say spoiler alert?
It should be fine. Most people probably have listened to the soundtrack at least, so they would know what she sings. So,
and I no matter how many times I listen to this on the soundtrack or watch it in rehearsal, now this is a very, very rare moment that I'm actually off stage. And I watched this moment, and Bev says, the one thing I loved most was used as the bomb. And just the staging of it, the musicality of it, the build up in that song, it just it gets me every single time. And I think it just really hits home about what actually happened on that day. It's just such a poignant moment in the show, and it's one of those moments where, again, like what you're saying in terms of feeling like you're laughing and then suddenly you're not.
It's that moment where the air is like completely sucked out of the room, and it's just,
you know, and the song starts with this, you know, this young, you know, a young girl telling about her dream of becoming a pilot, and it's this feel good kind of, this is what I'm going to do with my life. And then it just, it takes this turn. And I think it's the same turn that happened on 9/11. It was like everyone was just going about their business as usual, and then everything just came to a stop. And it's such a, I say, wonderful moment in the show from a, you know, musical theater piece, but it's just, it really hits home and really makes you reflect about that day and what happened. So, yeah, that would be my answer.
That's fantastic. And that's where we're going to wrap things up on our trip to Gander, guys. Thank you so much for joining us, Joseph. It's been a pleasure chatting to you. And thank you for everyone that has come and listened to the last 4 weeks of us here in Gander. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode of the We Are Theatre podcast. See you guys.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.